In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you, and I have Eleanor McCullen with me today. We are celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit yesterday, how we need the Holy Spirit. The last words of Jesus were these, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth." Those are the last words of Jesus in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 1:8. You will receive power. Where this power is, things are happening. Where the Holy Spirit is, things happen. People get healed. People get converted. People get blessed. Where the Holy Spirit is. And I'm going to tell you, he's not every place, because we might not want him to be in this place, because we're running the show. And nothing happens when I run the show. Nothing happens when you run the show. Mother Angelica says it very nicely. When God is doing something, get out of the way. Just get out of the way and let him do it in you, through you, for you. Let's talk about the power. Eleanor, this Friday, you're going to be receiving your 19th anniversary. Tell us about that.
Well, hello everyone. And it's nice to be with you today. And of course to be with you, Father. And yes, my anniversary. I know a lot of you have heard this story. And it's 19 years now, if you can believe that. And you want me to tell a little bit about what happened in Waltham? Okay. And, let's see. Even when I tell the story now, when I'm beginning to think I'm going to tell the story, I have like chills. It's kind of strange how this all works. But I guess back in 1998, I was just following the motions of being a Catholic. You know, you go to church on Sunday. And if you remember, I used to tell you that when I went up to receive the Holy Eucharist, because our pew got up and my mind was on a million other things. What are we going to have for dinner that night? And as I say, I was going through the motions of being a Catholic, which is not good. And so I continued. Actually, the interesting part of that, I didn't see anything wrong with that. That's how stupid I was. I didn't say anything wrong. I mean, I'm at Mass, and if I had a headache, well, I'm not going to Mass. And I didn't see anything wrong with that. So that's very sad. So I did that for a couple of years, I suppose. And then, and I wasn't looking for any blessings. I thought I was fine. Everything is fine with me. What's wrong? So one night, it was the year 2000, and it would have been June the 7th. And I read about Father. It's interesting that the Globe ran a story on Father. He was doing masses in Waltham, charismatic masses, beautiful masses where you sing and praise the Lord, and it was filled with joy. It was all in the write-up. And somehow, I never thought I was looking for anything, but maybe I was, because that appealed to me, that article. It was interesting that I caught it, and so forth and so on. So I went out that night, and Father, as you know, is a beautiful homilist, and where the Pope said keep your homilies to 8 minutes, Father has not listened to that, thank God. And so on June the 7th, his homily was, I would say, 40 minutes, but I didn't guess how long it was going to be. After 10 minutes, I had enough. And I said, I'm leaving. I am going home. And this was June 7th, and I am not ever coming back here again, because the Mass goes on forever. And in those days, you know, I used to like to watch TV, and I love Regis Philbin and all that horrible, wonderful stuff. So I didn't go back all week. It was a whole week, and then it was June 14th, and that's what Father's talking about. The June 14th, the year 2000. I said, I still remember my saying this or thinking it. I said, well, I'll go back again tonight, because maybe Father, he was in a talkative mood, and maybe it will only be 10 minutes, and then I can come home. Well, I went. And the church in Waltham was crowded, and the music was on, and the homily was going on. And I said, yes, I made a mistake. I am leaving. I am definitely leaving. And so what happened was, I as you recall, some of you that heard the story, I just was restrained. I wasn't able to get up from the seat. And I felt like a warmth, and I felt like a hand on my head. I felt something. I couldn't get up. But it wasn't scary. It sounds scary maybe to some of you if you wonder you must have wondered what that was. I knew it was good. I felt warm. I knew it was good. And I probably knew. I didn't think of the Holy Spirit at the time, but that's what it was. The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for anything. And he just took me. He captured me. I couldn't move. I basically couldn't move. And then what did I do? I just collapsed into tears, and everybody was there. But you know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? It's like he just takes over your whole being. I didn't care if people were there. I didn't even know if people were there. I knew I was crying, but I didn't care. It was like a most beautiful touch. It was more than a touch. It was like a huge hug, a huge capturing. I was captured. I was captured by the Holy Spirit. And there was no debate of whether I would stay or whether I would leave. I couldn't leave. And I couldn't say anything. And all I did, I was convicted. I knew I had to get to confession. If you realize this, I hadn't been to confession in over 17 years. You believe this. So I knew I had to get to confession. I mean, the Lord just came to me in such a powerful way. Just collapsing in tears will tell you the story. And that night, the service was over about 11:30. I stayed to the whole thing. Oh, I forgot to say one thing. Father was singing at the same time. I couldn't move, and the Holy Spirit's upon me, and Father's singing, "You're the apple of my eye," and that's biblical, and I still remember that. I mean, that it all came at once. It was a crush upon me, and it was just amazing. And I'm eternally grateful. I told Father, I'm eternally grateful forever and ever, forever, for that grace and that presence and that capturing and that surrender. I surrendered. I was captured. Everything happened quickly. I knew I had to get to confession. I guess because of my age, the Lord said I better work quickly. So everything was happening at one time, and I just felt so beautiful. I felt beautiful, and that's a good word. I have never said that, but I did. I felt beautiful, and I'm really not beautiful, but I felt beautiful. And so what happened after that? So I got home late, never wanted to watch Regis. I didn't care about Regis anymore. Everything all of a sudden, as I say, he worked quickly. Everything seemed mundane. Just within, like, Joe would say, are you going to watch Regis? Regis who? I mean, it all happened quickly and powerfully and sweetly and amazing. That's all I can say. And so I was in love. I had to keep going back and listening. I didn't care if Father talked 3 hours. The music was great. Everything was beautiful. I was in love. I just kept going to back on Wednesday night. And as looking back, of course, you would say, well, I was on my honeymoon. And Father said one night, after about 6 weeks, he said, if any people are coming here just to worship and they're not doing anything, well, don't come again. Now, those are fighting words with me. I'm kind of a stubborn person. So I said to myself, oh, really? Well, I'm not going to be doing anything, and I am coming back. And, well, you know what? So Father said, he was talking actually to everyone, but I think he was really speaking to me. You know how Father is when he is speaking, everyone tells me they feel like he's speaking just to them. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. See, that's the Holy Spirit. And people that are listening to me today that turned on the radio, why do you think you turned the radio on? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very active if you recognize it. And then if you recognize it, then you say thank you. And then you pray more for a deeper indwelling, a deeper living water, a deeper experience. And then it will happen. And that's, you have to recognize the Holy Spirit is working in you. And then honor that and pray that it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So Father said one night, you know, if you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, it's not about you. It's about what you're going, you have to build up the kingdom. That was another strange thing for me to hear. What does that mean, build up the kingdom? I don't think so. But I didn't know what that meant. I mean, you would think after all those years in Catholic school, I would know this stuff. But anyway, build up the kingdom. And he said, I'm going to tell you what you can do. And, I'm still stubborn, you know. I'm still a reluctant servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't jump right in and say, oh, good, what can I do? No, I didn't. But Father mentioned a few things. He mentioned praying outside of Planned Parenthood. And he also mentioned doing prison work. And both of those, as he went through the list of 10 things, those two things, that's the Holy Spirit that made me stop and say, I could pray and I might do prison work. In other words, those two things hit me, but he mentioned 10 other things. But that was the Holy Spirit nudging me to build up the kingdom through those two apostolates, if that's what you call them. So, see, the Holy Spirit's working, but we don't realize it, and we don't say thank you for that grace, and we keep thinking it's us. But if we know it's the Holy Spirit, we say thank you, praise you, we love you, Holy Spirit, come deeper, breathe deeper upon us. Give us a deeper, deeper breath of that beautiful Holy Spirit that gives us joy and peace and refreshment and solace and consolation and direction. See, the Holy Spirit gives us other things, but the direction. He gives us the path he wants us to take, people he wants us to meet. That's all the Holy Spirit. So we can pray for that today. Pray for a deeper breath, a deeper breath. I feel like right now, the deeper breath, he's breathing a deeper breath, a very deep breath of living water. It's coming over everybody right now. The water and the breath is coming over everybody right this minute. So receive it and know that that's what it is, and honor that and be thankful for that and pray for more. We always need more. We're desperate. I'm desperate. So anyway, and so I took up Father with the idea of praying at Planned Parenthood. That's how my pro-life work started. And I did that for 6 months. Then one day I was doing the counseling and was able to help a couple save their baby. As I have often said, his name is Abraham, and he's almost 19. He's 18 now, I guess, 18 and a half. So once that started, then I continued my counseling, helping mothers. My first reason to be outside, of course, is prayer, but I'm there to help the mother because she's in a horrible dilemma. She doesn't want to kill her baby, but she's scared. She's a byproduct of the society. She doesn't know what to do. The father said, get out of the house unless you have the abortion. The boyfriend said, I'm out of here. So I'm for the woman first. I try to build up trust with the woman and try to help her find out why she's here. What can we do? You have to be a good listener. And then we talk about the baby. Then I say to her, you know, well, how far along do you think you are? And then I show her a picture of, say, 8 weeks, and then by the grace of God, I can take her to pregnancy help and get an ultrasound. And from there, we help her with everything. We have so much aftercare. People say, oh, all you want is the baby born, but what do you do after the baby's born? Well, guess what? We do very, very much, 150% aftercare, everything, until they can stand, mom and dad can stand on their own 2 feet, and they say, thank you for being there. We have our little boy today. So that's how the pro-life work started. And then Father kept saying, why don't you pick up on that prison and invitation I gave you? And I said, I don't think so. No, I'm busy enough, Father. No, no, no. Well, you know what? He's an encourager. He's a listener, and he encourages. Well, he kept pushing for this Norfolk prison. So I said, okay, I'll go once, Father, and that's the end of me on the prison, and please do not bring that up again. So I called Sister Ruth, and I went on a Monday night. It would have been 17 years ago, I think. And, well, what can I say? The Holy Spirit was alive that night. He put a love. See, here's another thing the Holy Spirit does. He puts a love in your heart for people. Because why would I love the men at Norfolk? Why would I even love the mothers that I and the fathers that I see in front of Planned Parenthood? I don't know. What makes me care about them? What makes me care about the dilemma that she's about to go into Planned Parenthood? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. You can't say, oh, Eleanor loves people. No, the Holy Spirit gives me a love for people. You know what? We can't explain the Holy Spirit. We can't explain that love we have for people. But it's there. And the Lord promised the Holy Spirit, and he promised power and love. So if the Lord promises it, then that's happening. So when I went that Monday night, to the mass with the guys at Norfolk, all the way home in the car, I cried. Ah, my gosh. Well, guess what? I hardly miss a Monday in 19 years or 17 years, and I also go Monday and Tuesday. And so once you know the Holy Spirit's working with you and you're praying for the Holy Spirit to come, you will see your life will change. You know, another thing, too, some people might be saying that, well, I'm not going to pray for the Holy Spirit because he's going to make me do radical things. But guess what? Once you trust him, he will give you items to do that the world would say are radical, but he will be right there with you, holding your hand, surrounding you with love and courage and perseverance, and you'll do it, and you'll say, oh, I can't believe this, but you have to trust me. You have to trust that the Holy Spirit won't give you anything you can't handle, but he will ask you to do something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone. He's going to ask you to go the extra mile, but it's not going to be hard because he's going to actually be doing it through you. He's going to be doing all the work, but he wants you to trust him and to get involved, because your life changes when the Holy Spirit is leading your path and leading your, and you're letting him direct you. It's like you can't explain it. You have to experience it. Your life becomes joyful. It just becomes, you get up in the morning and life is worth living. I think the Bishop Sheen said that. Life is worth living because somebody, and it's not just somebody, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the love. It's God the Father and Jesus. They're so together. They're bonded together. They're wrapped up together. And in their togetherness, they pour out the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the love between the Father and the Son. So, I mean, now I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath speaking about it because it's so exciting. So, anyway, if you're listening today, that's the Holy Spirit that made you turn this on. And then he will guide you in your paths, and he'll put people in your way that need help, that Jesus can't come right down on the sidewalk, you're there. You're in the nursing home. You're in the hospital. You're a good teacher at a school. You're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think that, and so I continue to do the prison work. I'd love, anybody wants to come to Norfolk Prison, and beautiful ministry there. And then, of course, out on the street, we need people. We need people to pray. Do not be worried. Don't worry about, you have to put quarters in the meter. You know what? Because all these little things, that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make a way. It's the other side that says, oh, you have to put quarters in the meter. Oh, it's hot today. You don't want to be out here hot. Throw all those negatives out of the window. We need you in front of Planned Parenthood. Things are getting very good in the Midwest as far as laws are being, governors are signing laws against abortion. But we are in Massachusetts. It's dark. And we need light. We need the light of Christ. We need lights like you are listening to me today. We need you out on Planned Parenthood in front. Pray the rosary for an hour. It's not that hard, and you'll feel good about it. So I'm encouraging you to do that. And that's my story. And I'm glad to share it. I feel all out of breath, and I feel I feel good. I love to tell the story. Thank you, Father.
Jesus said, "Let the man who thirsts come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Oh yes, rivers, rivers of living water that bring us to make Jesus our contemporary. That's what the Holy Spirit does, not only power, but he makes Jesus our contemporary, that we come to know Jesus, not only know of Jesus, but know him. Oh yes, I know him by the grace of the living God. It's more than just knowing about. It's more than just speaking words from the gospel. It's knowing the power of God and knowing Jesus, that he is the Lord, and he gives us great, great experience of his love. Now, Eleanor has some announcements to make.
Yeah, but before I do, you know, this gospel, this Pentecost gospel that was read yesterday, Father, a couple things. Jesus came into the room and he saw all the apostles, and you know, he's so sweet because he said, "Peace be to you." And how humble is that? And how, you know, I think of me going into the room and I'm thinking, I'm going to be angry with these men because they ran away when I was crucified. And I would be, but that's not Jesus, see? And he said, "Peace be to you." He forgotten all the things of the past. Right now, he had love for them. He had love for them even before, but he said, "Peace be with you," several times. And that's how merciful he is, and how he forgets everything that we do that's wrong. And he just loves us. And the other thing from yesterday's gospel that I took to myself, Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." Now, years ago, before the Holy Spirit came upon me, I used to think, yeah, well, that's 2,000 years ago, you know, and he sent Jesus. I understand that. But guess what? In my conversion story, now I always put my name in there. And when I read the gospel, it's so clear. My name is written there, Eleanor. "As the Father sent me, I send you, Eleanor." And he doesn't just say Eleanor, period. He says now. and I say, in other words, he doesn't say I send you maybe next week. I think I'm sending you 6 months from now. He says to me, so put your name in too and be sent out. That is your commission. Now, I think I have a couple minutes. A big story here in Massachusetts is this Roe bill. And I'm going to invite you to go to the Gardner Auditorium next Monday, a week from today, at 10 o'clock. It's at the State House. It's a committee hearing, and they will hear people on both sides about this Roe bill. We don't want this Roe bill. This is a horrible bill. So remember, we're in Massachusetts, and we need throngs to go to the Gardner Auditorium at 10 o'clock. Allow time for parking or take an Uber car. It's June 17th. Now, the reason the Roe bill is not good, it allows for abortion all the way up till the ninth month, till the baby is born, number one. It also, the young people don't have to have parents' permission anymore. They can go in and have an abortion without the parents' permission. And also, 24 weeks, if you're pregnant 24 weeks, you used to have to go to a hospital like Brigham and Women's. This whole thing is bizarre. It's worse. If you can picture it the way we used to have it, this is worse. And now, if you're 24 weeks, you can actually have the abortion right in Planned Parenthood. You don't have to go to the hospital. So I'm asking you to come to, I'll keep you posted, call your senator, know on S as in Sam 1209. Because you know what? If we don't speak up and this bill goes through, I can hear everybody saying, you know what? I should have called my senator. I should have gone to Gardner. Because we are the good people of Massachusetts. We are the lights. And the lights cannot go out. The lights have to be brighter than ever. Lights have to be very, very bright. So I invite you to do that if you would. And thank you for listening.
The Lord does things through us that only God can do. I heard a story the other day about a woman who was told, ordered in the hospital not to be fed or not to have drink. They killed her.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They killed her. They killed her. And this is legal. This is legal. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a story about that woman. One day she said, Jesus loves me. She had no idea about Jesus, but she must have had an experience that Jesus came to her. Jesus loves me. And then she pointed to her family and said, Jesus loves each one of you. This was totally out of character for this woman. She must have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill our hearts. Come, Father of the poor. Come, source of all our store. Come, within these bosoms shine. Thou of comforters the best, thou the soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment here below. In our labor rest most sweet, grateful coolness in the heat, solace in the midst of woe. O most blessed light divine, shine within these hearts of thine, in our innermost being fill. Where thou art not, we have not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew. On our dryness pour thy dew. May God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.